This is program C, 1114. We are today 186 days from flying off to Israel. And if you're planning on going, you need to make your mind up within the next month and get registered. Everything you need is on intotheword.net, right there on the front page in a hot link brochure. And I would encourage you to share that with other people that you think might even have a small interest in going. I've also been trying to encourage you to talk to the leadership of your church to send your preacher on this trip. I am trying to get as many preachers as I can there because I think preaching and teaching is so much more exciting after having been there and seen and touched and walked in the very places that are described in Scripture. So please get that taken care of soon and make sure you go with me. Let's go ahead and do our study today. We are looking at the Olivet Discourse made by Jesus in Matthew 24 and the parallels in Mark and Luke. We're doing our study from my Living in the Last Days Prophecy Seminar notes, which you can find at intotheword.net. Just look for it there on the PDF resources page. Or you can go to the Book of Revelation page that is part of the website, and I will have a hot link there as well. We're going to begin today at page 18 in the notes as we finally start talking about the prophecy in Daniel that Jesus was referencing when he said that the trigger event that would cause believing Jews to abandon the city of Jerusalem was the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. We know that that line, abomination of desolation, occurs three times in the book of Daniel. But the two times in chapter 11 and chapter 12, we went over in detail yesterday to show that they were already fulfilled before Jesus spoke these words, way back in 167 BC. It was the abomination of desolation committed by Antiochus IV, which is the whole story behind Hanukkah. And the book of 1 Maccabees, which tells that story, actually cites that this was a fulfillment of Daniel's writings on the topic. So that really only leaves us one potential place in the book of Daniel that Jesus could be referencing, and that's Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Now, to understand that passage, we need to get the historical context in our heads, and this is how it works. We are familiar that on the eve of Babylon's destruction in, or actually capture, not destruction, in 539 BC, that the prince regent Belshazzar consulted the retired prophet Daniel about a scary supernatural event. Remember, this is that disembodied hand that writes up on the plaster, Tekel, Tekel, Pheres, Upharsin, weighed, weighed, measured, found wanting. Well, it turns out that that was the final warning that things were over for the Persians, and that the Babylonians were now going to be taken over by the Persians. And that's exactly what happened. Now, the old prophet's interpretation did get him the favor of the new incoming ruler, and that would be Darius the Mede. Darius. Unfortunately, Darius's kind attentions toward Daniel got him in trouble with some of the powerful leaders in Babylon, and you remember how that results in the whole famous Lion's Den episode. So all of that happened in about 539. Then the following year, 538 BC, Daniel was irresistibly drawn to the prophetic writings of Jeremiah, the prophet of his youth. It had been 68 years since Nebuchadnezzar the Babylonian had first captured Jerusalem and subsequently took Daniel and his friends and other Jews into captivity. Jeremiah wrote at that time that Babylon's desolation of Judea would only last 70 years. If you're curious about the exact reference, that's Jeremiah 25 as well as Jeremiah 29. Well, so here is Daniel, who is very old now. He's got to be in his 80s. And he is thinking about this prophecy, and he's wondering, how is it all going to be fulfilled? How is the 70 years going to end? So he goes to the Lord in prayer. What he gets back is not a clarification of Jeremiah's prophecy, but a brand new prophecy about another period of 70. And this becomes a countdown clock to the arrival of Messiah the Prince. And that's why this passage is so very important. It is most certainly the reason that Jews of the first century AD were expecting the Messiah during their lifetime. This countdown clock told them to do so. Now, there's been a lot of things written about this brief but rather difficult to translate passage. And a lot of that writing has been done by premillennialists. And their writings have had somewhat of an impact, I think, upon some of the newer translations and how those translations are understood. Let me do a quick summary with you of what most of the time you will hear when premillennialists talk about this passage. First of all, they will point out that there's going to be 490 years decreed for the Jewish people to finish certain things. And that's certainly here. They then point out that there is going to be 483 years, and that's come by 7 times 7 plus 62 times 7, and that adds up to 483. So there would be 483 years from an official decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince would arrive. And that restoring and rebuilding had to include the walls. Also, we are told that Messiah the Prince is going to be cut off or killed without cause, and that after the Messiah's death, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Now, the premillennialists, using the English translations they have, say that that's going to be accomplished by the people of, quote, the prince that shall come, end quote. Now, this prince that shall come, they say, will also be involved in some sort of covenant during the final 7 years before Jesus comes back that's going to take place effectively at the end of our current history. They also say that according to this passage, about halfway through that final 7 years, the prince who shall come will put a stop to the daily sacrifices being offered in a rebuilt Jewish temple. And then finally, they say that this prince that shall come will desecrate that rebuilt Jewish sanctuary with an abomination of desolation, which a lot of them will then very specifically say is an idolatrous image of himself placed in the Holy of Holies. And they reference with that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I've already shared with you from Jesus' own words in the Olivet Discourse, as paraphrased by the prophet Luke in chapter 21 of his writings, that that's not possible. That Luke says that the abomination of desolation is not an image, but rather the establishment of armed military encampments around the city of Jerusalem. So I think we need to just very quickly knock that one right out of consideration. Now, when I've gone over this, it probably sounded familiar to a lot of you who have an interest in prophecy and listen to a lot of prophecy teachers. But I want you to understand that there are a lot of problems with understanding the text in some of those ways, the most serious of which, I think, are the following. First of all, that understanding separates the final 7 years from the preceding 483 years with all the years of the Christian era, and that's a period approaching very close to 2,000 years now. Contextually to me, that seems to be rather arbitrary and forced. It would be much more natural to think that the full 490 years flow continuously. Secondly, this understanding of the passage resorts to mathematical manipulation in order to account for the passage of 483 so-called prophetic years, each of them reckoned as 360 days in length, during an actual period of 477 solar years, that is, from the decree until the triumphal entry of Jesus. And that's something we'll talk about later in more detail. That's what they claim. To me, that seems like a rather severe departure from the normal reckoning of time that's observed in all other prophetic scriptures of our Bible. And so it forces an extremely, a unique, externally conceived meaning upon the text, and I don't think that's reasonable. Another thing is, it doesn't seem to me contextually appropriate to have the word translated prince in verse 25 to apply to the Messiah, and then immediately the same word prince in verse 26 is applied to a wicked ruler later. It seems much more natural to have the word prince in two subsequent verses to mean the same person, and that person should be the Messiah. This understanding we were talking about doesn't take in consideration a scholarly disagreement over which of two Hebrew homographs should be understood in verse 26. A homograph, homographs would be two words that are spelled exactly the same, but they have different meanings. And so one of those types of words appears in verse 26, and it bears heavily on the understanding of the text. And then lastly, I think that the word prince and this homographic variation is going to determine who the he is in verse 26 and verse 27, because a pronoun appears there, and you've got to decide who is that speaking about. All right, so with that caveat at the very beginning here, let me share with you my own translation of this passage. And this is on page 20 in my notes. I based my translation on the Hebrew, which is actually Aramaic in this context. But I always take in consideration the fine points of meaning that are brought out by the Greek texts of this work, especially the work by a man named Theodotion, whose translation in Greek of the book of Daniel was exceptionally popular during the 2nd and 3rd century church. So I try to work in both Hebrew and in Greek with this. Okay, I'm going to read first of all the passage with my commentary on certain parts of it. All right? Just warning you ahead of time, I'm going to break in from time to time to explain my translation. So if you're looking at your own translation, I'll explain why mine's a little bit different. And then we'll go back and we'll read it fully without breaking it up. Okay, so here it goes. Chapter 9, verse 24. 70 sevens have been allocated for your people and your holy city to terminate the rebellion, to stop sin, to atone for iniquity, to bring in perpetual righteousness, to put a seal on vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. Now, most of the English translations that are popularly used today will say that the anointing here is of the Most Holy Place. And I disagree with that. I think that first grammatically, for reasons I'm not going to go into, but more importantly, contextually, this is a reference to the anointed prince, the Messiah, that comes up in this next verse, verse 25, and that he's the one that's being anointed, that all the focus is being drawn upon. All right, so verse 25, you should know and understand that from the issuance of an order for Jerusalem to be restored and built until the anointed leader, and the word anointed here is where we get our word Messiah. In Hebrew, it is Mashiach. In the Greek, Messias. And then we just move it into English as Messiah. Anointing was the way that the Jewish people indicated the designation of their king. And so this word, Messiah, is a synonym for king. The parallel Greek word is Christos, the anointed one. And that is why in the New Testament, which is written in Greek, Jesus is referred to as Iesus Christos, Jesus the anointed one. And that is something that we should always take in consideration when we see the word Christ. All right, so there's going to be this issuance of an order for Jerusalem to be restored and rebuilt until the anointed leader. There will be seven sevens and 62 sevens, and it will be restored and built, both streets and walls, and times will be poured out. Think of an hourglass, a sand glass. The sand pouring through it means passage of time. Verse 26, after the 62 sevens, the anointed will be executed. The literal word is cut off. I use executed because of the judicial context that this is being written in. The anointed will be executed without any basis for condemnation in him. The city and the holy place will be ruined along with the coming leader. Now, the along with passage here, you will see, is different than any English version you're looking at right now, which says that the people of the coming prince. This is where the homograph comes in. In ancient Hebrew, ancient Aramaic, they did not have specific vowel markings. They only had consonants, and the pronunciation of the vowel was added at the understanding of the speaker and of the understanding of the reader. And so what we have here is two letters, and you've got to decide, are these two letters supposed to be the word im, which is a preposition that means with, or are these two letters the word am, which is the noun people? And I have come to the conclusion that even though I disagree with pretty much all of the modern English translations, the better choice was the preposition, and that what was being said here is that the temple and the city would be destroyed just like the Messiah was destroyed and killed. And that's actually what Jesus says too, that when he was speaking on the day of his triumphal entry, that because they did not understand the visitation that was happening, the evaluation that was going on with the arrival of the Messiah, the city would be destroyed. And so that's the reason I am very confident that my translation is the proper one here. Now, lest you think that I'm being kind of arrogant and putting forward something that nobody else has ever agreed with, I want you to understand that I first became aware of this variant reading because I was reading Greek Old Testament translations that used that very preposition as their translation. And so I was actually shown this by ancient writers and translators and have come to the conclusion they were correct and our modern English translators have missed out on the proper understanding here. The grammar actually also flows better, the syntax flows better with this being a preposition. So the city and the holy place will be ruined along with the coming leader, and that would be the word referencing the anointed one. This is what I was talking about in my critique earlier. Since the anointed one is referred to as a leader in verse 25, why wouldn't the same word for leader be a reference to the anointed or Messiah in verse 26? I think it would be. That's the natural context. So the city and the holy place will be ruined along with the coming leader, that is, with the Messiah. They will be cut off in a flood. That's an idiom for suddenly. And until the end, desolating war is determined. Verse 27. He, and this is where you have to make a choice with the pronoun. I don't have a problem because when I use the word leader in verse 26, which this is a reference back to, I am referencing the leader of verse 25, which is the Messiah. So as far as I'm concerned, verse 27 is about the Messiah. But for modern English translators, they believe that the leader in verse 26 is the final world ruler, the wicked world ruler of Revelation, and he's the, quote, Antichrist, capital letter A, and therefore he's the major actor in verse 27. So we disagree huge amounts as to who verse 27 is about. And I will teach what I think is correct. It's about the Messiah. Verse number 27, he, meaning the Messiah, will strengthen a covenant with many for 1/7, and within half of the seven, my sacrifice and drink offering will be removed. Upon the temple will come an abomination of desolations. And so here's the very phrase we were looking for. It's the only other possible place in the book of Daniel that Jesus could have been referencing. And so this is what he was talking about. Upon the temple will come an abomination of desolations. Until the end, the pouring out of desolation is determined. All right, in the little bit of time we've got left, we're going to have to introduce what we'll finish up tomorrow, and that is how best to understand this passage. First of all, let's deal with the time element of the 70 sevens. Now, it's fairly obvious that this represents a total of 490 years. Pretty much everybody agrees on that. However, I don't think it's just any ordinary number of 490 years. Throughout their entire history as a nation, the Israelis were supposed to be living under a God-mandated cycle of 6 days of work followed by a seventh year of rest. So that's a seven-year period. In fact, the reason that is given in Scripture for the 70-year desolation of Jerusalem, which Daniel was reading about when he was prompted with this vision we're looking at, he was asking about how those sabbatical years that were missed by Israel during their history had to be paid back during the 70-year desolation. So I am convinced that the 70 sevens being cited in Daniel are actually 70 sabbatical cycles and not just some simple series of 490 years. So I'm going to recommend to us that we keep our eyes open, keep our minds open, that if we see a place where the cycle of Israel's sabbatical years matches the moving forward of the prophecy that we're looking at in Daniel, it's probably the correct place that we're looking at, because that seems to be what these years are about. All right, I will get more specific with the starting point that I think we should take with that tomorrow. In the time that we have left, I want to do what I already said I would do, and that is read Daniel 9, 24 through 27 again from my translation without me going back to any of the commentary. Here we go. 70 sevens have been allocated for your people and your holy city to terminate the rebellion, to stop sin, to atone for iniquity, to bring in perpetual righteousness, to put a seal on vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. You should know and understand that from the issuance of an order for Jerusalem to be restored and built until the anointed leader, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be restored and built, both streets and wall, and the times will be poured out. After the 62 sevens, the anointed will be executed without any basis for condemnation in him. The city and the holy place will be ruined along with the coming leader, and they will be cut off in a flood, and until the end, desolating war is determined. He will strengthen a covenant with many for 1 7, and within half of the seven, my sacrifice and drink offering will be removed. Upon the temple will come an abomination of desolations. Until the end, the pouring out of desolation is determined.